June 14th, 2009. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Mercy over me. Brothers and sisters, as we come this morning, as we gather together, we sing out of this beautiful one that loves us, that adores us, and that we are called to love and adore, that calls each one of us beautiful as well. Brothers and sisters, know that you are loved by God this morning. Know that as we gather together, that His love and His beauty surrounds us, and that His beauty and love is within each one of us. In the spirit of His grace and love, let us step outside our pews and greet those around us. As people are finding their way back to their pews, I'm going to invite forward all of our graduates, be they high school, middle school, college, to come forward and be recognized on this exciting day and give thanks for all of their accomplishments and certainly to offer a prayer for their futures as well. So eighth grade, senior, we got senior high up here at the moment. We might have a few eighth graders that are coming. And there are handouts for folks that turned in information in advance if you want to pick those up and be aware of who our graduates are here. So I think I can at least list off who's up here that we can give thanks for and... I'm trying to think if I know where everybody's going to college, and I don't think I know the answer to that one. But I'll start on this end. Mel Danicky, Luke Pontier, Anna Schwarz, Matt Brianick, Cheyenne Judd, Kate Bateman, Kenny Fiedler, Corinne Goodman, Ginny Soski, Mariah Shoemaker, and Eric Cooperman. Let's give thanks. Certainly we have been blessed by especially those that have been, say, with us throughout all of high school and look forward to the few that are up here that are going to be with us here for another couple of years to see how God will continue to use them and grow in them. And certainly those that may not be here on a regular basis anymore, but we hope that y'all will come back and share with us what's going on in your lives. And we trust that God will continue to use you. Certainly today is an exciting day and a good day for families as well that you all have worked hard alongside these youth to get to the point where they are today, and we give thanks for that. And I ask you if you would just join me in a word of prayer. God, we are thankful for this group that stands before us and more that are on the list and more that aren't even on the list, but we know that they are celebrating today or this week or whenever the official graduation ceremonies may be taking place. And we recognize that you have blessed us, this church, with these wonderful youth in all the ways that they have served and in the ways that they will continue to serve and bless others wherever they may be, wherever they may go. And so, God, we trust that you will be with them. And we know that, and we praise and we bless you this day. And all God's people said, amen. You may find your seats, except for we have a special senior testimony. Matt Brianick, many of you have maybe seen him up here, especially with the flocking things or on senior high Sundays or different things, that he's just going to share a little bit about what God has done in his life and we give thanks for him and his willingness to share.
All right. Thank you. As Pastor Mark just said, Pastor Todd asked me to give a little valediction, so that's what I'm going to do, starting with freshman year and going up to senior. Before that, though, I'd like to make it clear that God did give me one great blessing before that, many others as well, but most importantly, my parents. I have the best mom and dad in the world, and I just want to extend that thanks to you, and thank you, God. All right, so first off, let's start out with freshman year. Freshman year, I was kind of a loner. I didn't really know many people, and if I did, I didn't really hang out with many people. God helped me out, though, because I wanted to get involved in swimming, and somehow I got involved in track, too. And neither of those two things would have happened if it hadn't been for people in this youth group, Rob Herman and Kelly Nizwicki. Both of them pushed me on. You know, when I was a little guy, didn't really know what I was doing. I was pretty goofy, too. They just kept me going and helped me go through it. Excuse me? Thank you. I'm still goofy and a sense. And thank God they did, because with swimming, I got to be captain, and track, I got to go to states twice. So that's just something great that happened freshman year. Sophomore year, I went to Keswick, and everybody that's been to Keswick knows it's the best place in the world. It's just, you're living, you're worshiping, and you're doing what you were meant to be. That's how I personally see it. And I had a great time there. Met a really cool girl. That was also a plus. And I started reading the Bible. That was awesome. Unfortunately, the girl thing didn't work out, but then again, God was there with me. God was there with me again, and whenever I would feel a little lonely or depressed, he'd put me up on a pedestal and make sure I knew that I was here for a reason. Then we'll go into the end of sophomore year. I was working out in the weight room with track. You know, you got to get big. It didn't really work, but I tried. And I was lifting, and this coach from the football team comes over. He says, "What's your name?" Matt Brianic. He says, "Well, you want to do football?" All right, whatever. So he throws me into football. I try it out. And I busted my hump. Believe me, I worked hard in there. And I remember thinking to God, talking to myself, of course, talking to God, private. You know, if I could get an award, either a varsity letter or whoever worked the hardest award, I was thinking, which would I rather have? You know, there's always competition with varsity. And then again, there's self-pride. That time, I just looked to the sky and I said both. And I screamed it. I was happy. I wanted both, and I wasn't going to stop for that. And thank God, because he blessed me with both. Continue on through junior year. Just had a lot of difficult times. Of course, went to Keswick. The both with the football, Keswick. Everything was great. Met Pastor Todd, met Mark, met Art, met everybody. And it really started to give me foundation, and I felt comfortable with myself, and I was happy. Also, this time, around the end of my junior year, you know, starting to think of colleges, taking the SATs. God helped me on those, too. Believe me, I couldn't get those grades on my own. I was actually picking my brother up from a Boy Scout troop meeting, which pastors here in the church are very great, and they let community service groups and Boy Scouts and stuff like that meet here. And thank God, because I was talking to Lady Mitch Petrozello. She has two kids that have already been in high school and college. She knows a bit about what's going on. And I was talking to her, and she told me, if you're going to be doing sports in college, or even if you, you know, have a chance, talk to the coaches at whatever track team or whatever team you're going out for. They might be able to help you. And they did. Thanks, Anna. They did, and that got me into college. So, again, God just doing these little things that keeps me going. Senior year, I think you guys have seen most of senior year. I've been up here with the youth group a bunch of times pretending to sing, you know, when Anna wasn't there. Sorry to burst your eardrums. But I had a great time, and youth group just helped me be that one person I wanted to be. You could not be afraid of being yourself. Everybody comes here willingly. It's not like anybody's forced to, unless the parents push them in, but that's always a good thing because it usually gets you rolling. And I truly have to be thankful, and I can't explain this any clearer. If it wasn't for youth group, I would not be here today in front of you. I would not be who I am, nothing, not even close. So I thank God for that. I know God's going to carry me through college. He's made my path. I've just got to follow it. I'm going to do my best to do that. It's all of us true. It's all of us try, I'm sure. One thing also I wanted to hit on. The youth group, we don't have as many leaders as we used to, and we really could use them. So if anybody's questioning, maybe I should help them out, maybe I shouldn't, just take that one step because it'll take you a mile in return. So thank you for your time, and God bless.
Before we sing this. song that lets the children lead, I think we got to invite them forward, and Ginny's got a little word for them. So all the children can come forward.
All right. I'm back, guys, for another week. I guess I'll let you all get settled in before I start. This is not going to be about Pokemon again. I'm sorry. Not everything applies, but I wish. today, I want to talk about love, okay? And I want to ask you guys a question. Who in your life, here, I'll move over. You got enough room? You good?
Yeah.
All right. Who in your life do you love? How about you?
My mom.
Your mom, that's a good one. How about you?
My dog.
Your dog. Who else?
My mom.
Yeah, your mom again, too. I think we all love our moms. Anything else?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend?
That's a good answer.
That's very good. I'm glad you love your boyfriend. All right, so let me ask you another question, because we all love our moms, we love our dads, we love our sisters and our brothers, right? And we love our friends, too, because they're nice to us. But do we love everyone? Would you guys say that you do?
No.
No? Why not?
Some people are bad. They might take you away.
I guess that could work. But do you guys think that you love people of all kinds? Maybe their skin is a different color than yours. Maybe they might have a lot of earrings all over their body. Maybe they might have tattoos, right? Or maybe sometimes, I know there's some people in my school that might have to wear headscarves. Are you nice to them too? Well, God wants us to be nice to them, so maybe we aren't maybe the nicest people to them right now. But God wants us to be nice to them. God wants us to help them out when they need help. Maybe they just need to borrow a pencil. Maybe they need a little 50 cents extra for lunch, right? And God asks us to help them, especially in a story that Pastor Todd is going to talk about today, the Good Samaritan. Do you guys know that story? We usually talk about it around Christmas time, when maybe we'll donate a little bit of money to help people who don't necessarily have much money. Maybe we don't have that much money, but that's the thing, we're donating to help others, okay? So let's just remember that we want to love other people because God loved us first. And to show that we love God, we want to love other people because we're following his example, okay? So let's keep that in mind for this week, and let's bow our head in prayer before we go off to Sunday school. Dear Lord, help us remember to love others because you loved us first. Help us remember that no matter the color of our skin or what kind of clothes we wear or anything like that, that we are all your people and we all deserve to be loved. So let us remember that this week and celebrate your name. Amen.
Thank you.
seated.
Yeah. A couple of announcements as we get ready for your announcement. Yeah, get your helper up here, and I'm going to just say, today after this service at 11:30, we're going to come back in for a forum here. There'll be child care up through the elementary grades. I'm sure your church school teacher or Mark or whatever will help you with that, and we're going to discuss about a contemporary service and a traditional service come fall. Guys, go ahead.
Okay, so we're here to talk about Flocking, our fundraiser we've been doing. There's two more days that we have to do, but so far we've raised $1,432. So thank you, guys. Thank you for all your support. That's awesome. We're going to be going to Kentucky. That's our trip. And we're still looking for guy leaders. We need one more guy leader. So if you're interested, I'm going to give it to Matt. And we're going to show you a couple pictures.
Okay, this is the night after the first Flocking. We all just piled in there trying to get good pictures, and it was a ton of fun. We also left a voicemail, and his voicemail message took us an hour. So call that if you want to hear a good time. This is us just in the back of the car, just goofing around, having fun. It's a glamour shot, you can tell. We're all looking good. It's Miss Judy, of course, the most gorgeous driver right there. She helped us in our getaway van. Sometimes the lights worked. That's Johnny. Oh, this is a really good picture because you have the scarves on or the masks on and the water guns. What was going on is someone took our birds and they left us a note. I think they know who they are. And they said, either you give us the bird, or either you give us $100,000 or you're not getting the birds back. So we're like, we're not going to pay them. We're going to take the fight to them. So we got water guns, we got handkerchiefs and all that stuff. We went after them. That's Anna with the flamingo. That's me. That's Johnny Vets, just looking cool. We love him. Everybody was having a great time. Notice Love is the Movement. That's the charity you guys helped us donate to. So thank you again. That's Anna, me being goofy. That was the night our car broke down. Oh my goodness. We were on the side of the road for an hour trying to find people, still shooting water guns at each other. The road got on the show, though. You don't have to worry about it. That's us trying to hitchhike. It didn't work. Some guys with guns on the road, let's pick them up. All right. Oh, this is a great picture. That's Anna's boyfriend in the center. Said it to the last service. Figure I should say it now. We're all having a great time. He's a goofy kid, too. Same night as we're going to get everybody with the birds. And thank you, because it was a great time.
Thank you. Couple more announcements. I'm on page 2 of the bulletin. Next Sunday, if you're here at 9 o'clock or 10:15, you're here at the wrong time. We go to our summer schedule, 9:30 from next Sunday. And if you turn with me then lastly to page 6, there's a couple of announcements there I want to highlight. First, under music, the evening with Potter's Clay and the strawberry dessert, take a good look at that one. And then lastly, almost to the very bottom of page 6, the Vacation Bible School. They have more room for more registrations. And are we good with teachers and guys yet? We are good with teachers and guys, but we need children. We're way low on that, I understand. 30 openings. So get your kids and neighbor kids to sign up for that. All right, that's what God's doing during the week and even today. And let's now take some time to quiet our hearts and to hear what God has to say to us this morning. Let us pray. Great God, thank you for all the activity of this church. Keep us vital and strong, but more than that, help us now to tune our inner ear to hear what you have to say to us, what your Spirit says through the reading and the preaching of your word, so that we might be blessed and live as a blessing this week. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said.
A reading from Luke, verses 25 to 37. It's page 844 in your pew Bible. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Be seated. Peg, I love your meditative reading style. Thank you. Kind of centered me, quieted me down. We basically, most of us are happy with the style of worship music that we have in our worship services. So why diversify, as we'll be talking about in the forum, why diversify our services? And one service being more contemporary and one being more traditional, which we're moving towards in the fall. Why? Because most of us here this morning grew up in the church, so we've learned the hymns and we love them. And many of us, when we get back into our car, will turn the car radio on and listen to the Christian radio station 99.1, so we like contemporary music. And all of us like Brian. Don't you? Yeah. There you go. Now, it's true, if we're honest, that some of us, those that are more mature among us, maybe the hair on the back of our neck stands up when the drums start playing in the sanctuary, or for others of us, maybe those who are more recently confirmed, when organ music starts, the other term for organ music for that group would be funeral dirge, right? But basically, if we had charted ourselves, we would probably be the classic bell curve, you know, some folks on either extreme, but the greatest bunch in the middle. So if we're comfortable, why diversify the worship services? And you know what? I understand that feeling because that's how I feel. You know, been here in August, it'll be 10 years. Things are comfortable. I'm happy. You know, why make changes, make fuss? Why not just, you know, coast for whatever the rest of the time that God may give me here? Why not? Sort of reminds me of my pink pajamas. Wish I had kept them. I could show them. They were beautiful. Perfect for these type of nights, you know, where you just, when it's cooler like last night, you just need a light pajama. And I had them for about the first 10 years of our marriage, and they were not just completely pink. They were pink pinstriped, so just enough to let a male wear them, right? And I loved them. And I wore them all of the time in fall and spring, and I would accept that I wore them so much that the pocket where I put my handkerchief in eventually ripped, and I don't know how I got the rip here on the shoulder, and as I wore them longer, the elastic started stretching. So I guess towards the end of the time, when I would come down for breakfast, holding my elastic, you know, my ripped pocket hanging down, I must have been quite a sight, because Natsuko mentioned the word rag heap. I said, rag heap? I just broke these pajamas in. What do you mean? Broke being the operative word, right? When she finally persuaded me to give up these pajamas, surrender them to the rag heap, I really felt a little bit like I had lost a friend. Isn't that how things happen with us? We're comfortable. We like things. We get used to things. So why diversify? Well, but then we read the great commandment. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the quick-thinking religious lawyer asked Jesus, define neighbor. Because the Jews had always thought of neighbor as that person in their same faith. Just like you might be thinking about your neighbor as the person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you in the pews. But then Jesus told a story. And his story was about the Good Samaritan. Many of us know the story well, and if not, you can look back at Luke 10 and read it again to yourself. But the challenge of the story was that the neighbor was someone of a different faith, Samaritan or Jewish faith, than one's own. So your neighbor and my neighbor are those people that we passed on the way to church this morning. The guy who's quickly trying to mow his lawn before the rain comes again this afternoon, because Lord knows we're all getting these trenches in our backyard when we try to mow our lawn over this rainy spring, right? Or the neighbor is that woman that was down at the end of the driveway picking up the Sunday newspaper in her PJs. Or your neighbor is that friend that's sleeping in this morning. Or your neighbor is that guy that maybe doesn't believe passionately enough and prefers the workshop to worship. That's your neighbor. The great commandment is about evangelism. That's why we're diversifying our worship services. But now, wait a minute. Let's think about this. I mean, on an emotional, visceral level, allow me to say what I think oftentimes. What? You mean worship isn't all about me? Well, okay, when we think rationally, we step back from that. We say, no, worship is first and foremost about God. It's about my tastes and my needs just as much as my unchurched neighbor's needs. And that's going to be our challenge at the forum following this. Can we balance our needs and desires with those that aren't in church but need to be, need God's blessing and love? And that's tough. Because you know what? Been here almost 10 years. It took me 7 years of pulling out my driveway and coming to church, not just once a week, every day, right? 7 years of pulling out, looking through the rearview mirror at the house with the dad who had the stroke at 45, and then backing out and looking through my rearview mirror again at the house with the autistic kid, and then starting down my road on the one side, the neighbor who acts as if God's last name, excuse me, is damn it, and the other side, the neighbor who, you know, they're Indian and all of their family is in India and they're kind of here alone. And it took me 7 years to think about, how am I loving my neighbor? How is what I'm doing on Sunday morning relating to them? And do I care? And honestly, I didn't care that much. And then God reminded me of the beginning of the great commandment. And what's the beginning of the great commandment? By the way, someone asked who this painting is by, and I try to remember to write underneath, it's a Van Gogh. I love Impressionism. The beginning of the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and another version says with all your strength. And if we can do that, then loving our neighbor as ourselves is just downhill from there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because it's loving God enough that changes our hearts to just about me and begins to open our hearts up to the neighbor. Matter of fact, John Calvin said, the best way to show God that you love Jesus is to love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that's a challenge. And it's that's and when we begin to love God that much, a heart surgery happens. We can't just think about what we like or what we want, though that's valuable too. But I'm ashamed that I've spent too much of my tenure here thinking about me and just about you. Meanwhile, as you and I are tempted to be unneighborly, tempted to just have our own sealed-off culture from the rest of the culture, the church, you might have noticed, not just our church, but the church in general, is in steep decline. Matter of fact, the Reformed churches in New Jersey, if we continue the present rate of decline since 1960, which has averaged exactly 600 members a year, by 2030, the last Reformed church in New Jersey will close its doors and lock up, and there'll be the 300-year history of the Reformed church in New Jersey will be done. Only 21 years away if the average continues. But you can say, well, hey, but we're part of North Branch. We're one of the most vital Reformed churches in New Jersey. Yes, that's true. I wish that I had this graphed on 25 increments because it would be more apparent. We peaked in 2002, averaging 260 worshipers. Last year, since 2002, we've had a consistent decline of about 1% in worship attendance a year. So by 2008, we averaged 242. If present trends continue in 2009, we'll drop more than 1%. That's where we're headed. That's what's going on. And so 5 years ago, when we did our last five-year vision, we did this study of our church called Natural Church Development, and compared it to 25,000 churches around the world. Many of you who have been here for a while have heard this spiel over and over again. And the theory of the barrel was that God pours blessing into the church, but the church leaks the blessing at its lowest stave. And so on those eight quality characteristics, our lowest stave was evangelism. So we challenged ourselves over the last 4 years to set evangelism, loving our neighbor as ourself, as one of our top three priorities. Guess we haven't turned the numbers around yet, have we? Well, okay, that's why we got to the point where we're going to have the forum and talk about more of the nitty-gritty this afternoon, 11:30 to 12:30 this afternoon. But how diverse will the worship music on the two services, contemporary service and traditional service, become? Well, you know what? I don't think we have some ideas. I don't think we have a precise definition of that yet. But here's what I can tell you. We'll try to balance our needs in either service with the needs of the people around us. And we have some idea what their needs are, and I'll get to that at the end of the sermon. All right? So we won't strike that balance right away. We'll have to keep working at it. But this is why we're trying it. Another question. Will diversifying services bring more people into the church and help them come to experience of Christ? You know, frankly, I don't know. I'm hopeful. But here's what I do know. You know, remember the definition of insanity? Doing the same things in the same way, but expecting different results? I know that if we keep doing the same thing in the same way, that the results are going to be about the same. So, it seems to me it's time to stir things up, and we've been working on this for 3 years, and try something new. Because over the last 3 years, as we've been studying this, and here's what I believe that God has taught us. First of all, many growing churches are diversifying their worship services. Now, it's true in the Protestant church that blended, identical services, you know, churches like that are growing too. But we know since 2002 that's not been our experience. So we can keep trying the same thing, or we can try to diversify, knowing that today people like options, and in worship those options always seem to center in today's culture around music. Second thing we've learned in the last 3 years is that changing the church music alone won't draw many, but it will help some stay. We've had a real interesting consultant on this road, the guy named Michael Hoddy. And Michael has a graduate degree in organ and prefers that, but he, in his church, Stonecrest Community Church, used to be Warren Alliance Bible, if you know, around here, he's their music director, and they do nothing but contemporary music. So he's got a love and an experience in both. And he told us, expert in the field, that in the 90s, a contemporary service would grow your church. Not so much true in the 21st century anymore. There's a lot of churches, more and more churches that have contemporary services. He says now what a contemporary service will do, it will help you to keep people that you bring in through the front door in other means. And that leads to the third thing that we're learning. And I know you can't read A through E, but I'll tell you what's there. Neighborly church music must be part of a greater evangelistic effort. So I wish I could say that these five items that follow were some great grand strategic design, but they just sort of evolved over the last 5 years, things that we're trying to do to be evangelistic, to love our neighbor as ourselves. First is revitalize the preschool. It's looking like this is the first year in about 7 or 8, I don't have the exact number right, that the preschool next year will have more students than they had the year before. Am I right, about right on the numbers? That's exciting, because that's been our main outreach pool for years, and it had grown to about, it had declined to about half its original size. Second thing up there, knowing that our church plan, our daughter church Ignite, didn't pan out, but we're pretty confident that we're going to continue funding church plants, so final decisions haven't been made yet, in order to learn from new churches that have to evangelize just to survive. Established churches don't have to do that, and we're not doing it, and so we're in decline. Third, we're working on partnerships with the Center for Life Transitions, its own 501c3 across the street, you know, in the Hope House. When they offer a program for the community, we're looking for ways that we can partner with them to give what we can uniquely give to the community in hopes that we might connect with some folks in a positive way. Fourth, D up there, the pastors. We've been working on being more visible in the community. I joined the Rotary in Branchburg. Pastor Mark has been volunteering weekly at the Central Middle School through his tennis engagement. He's also playing tennis as a hobby. There's been a couple that have started attending church the last 2 weeks through that connection. And fifth, the preaching doctorate that I worked on had a sub-theme which relates to evangelism, and that's how do you preach sermons that relate to unbelievers, new believers, and mature believers at the same time. Now, you can judge how well I do that, but that's what I study. So, I know I'm going through this quickly, but we'll have more time to break it down in the forum. To be a good neighbor in the forum discussion, to love God first, to love our neighbor as ourself. The last question is, what kind of music is the community listening to? 80%, by the way, of our community, of our neighborhood, will not be in any church this morning. 80%. The statistics, if you read Gallup polls, they tell you 40% are in church. We know half of those people are lying. Here's how we know it. If you call people on the phone and say, were you in church last week? 50% will say yes than really were there. So if you go and you count the people in each church and divide it by the number of people in the community, you get half of what the Gallup tells you. So 80% of people are not in church this morning. What do we know about their music tastes? When we planted the Ignite Church, we had to do a demographic study of 10-mile radius around the church. Here's what we found out. First thing, very interesting. Our area likes traditional church music more than the rest of the country. probably relates to our high educational level here. And this tells me that it's not just the contemporary service that is going to reach folks or help folks come in, it's also the traditional service that's important for folks around here. And that's a good thing. Should also point out what that says. It says more than the rest of the country. What's happening in the rest of the country? We know that traditional church music is going like this, the rest of the country, the less and less. It started in the 60s in California, the Jesus movement, guitars and worship and all that, moved to the Midwest. Now much of the Midwest is contemporary, including my home church. Every morning as I'm driving into work, I'm talking to my mother, seeing how she's doing, and every Monday morning she says, you know, gee, I wish we'd sing some hymns in church. You know, all we do is the guitar, and we got this beautiful organ, and hopefully we can offer options for both. But it's more than the rest of the country, and now contemporary music is coming into the East. The churches that I know that are winning people from the culture into the church, I'll say it this way, I don't know one of them that are doing it primarily through traditional music. All of them that I know of in the country and in the East are doing it through contemporary music as well. Seems to me that's important. We need to think about that. Second interesting thing. So people not going to church would be more likely to enjoy a worship service that is of the musical style that they listen to. So what are they listening to? According to Radio Locator, which I don't know if this is the best website to find this on or not. Maybe you know more than I do. But here's what we find. Three most visited radio station websites in New Jersey are Top 40, Jazz, wouldn't it be fun to have a jazz service someday, and Rock. And the three most listened to New Jersey stations are Hip Hop, I don't see us doing that anytime soon. I certainly can't, I'll tell you that. Hip Hop, and Rock. So, I know I gave you a lot in a little bit, but we can break it down in the forum. You're a good neighbor, and I'm a good neighbor. And we love God. So what does it mean for us to balance our desires and needs with those of the people who are not yet in the church? Let us try to love God by talking about that, including our own needs, but talking about that balance in the forum to come. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you've challenged us, and we thank you for that. And you've challenged us to always be first in a relationship with you, and then also to be in relationship with a neighbor. And we ask your wisdom as we try to be the church that you've called us to be. We ask for your grace. We ask, O God, for robust discussion that will sift out the truth to find what best is your guidance for us. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Let us stand and confess the faith that has united folks for two millennia in the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Will you give to God who's given everything to you as Anna, another graduate, leads us in worship? You may be seated. I'm sorry.
So when I picked this song, I really wasn't sure why, but as I think about it in kind of relation to me graduating, it kind of is my faith journey over the past 4 years, so hopefully it'll hit a note with you guys too. As I rest against this cold, hard wall, oh, will you pass me by? Will you criticize me as I sit and cry? I had fought so hard and thought that all my battles had been won, only to find the war has just begun. Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, pour me out, and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Please, can I have one chance? My weakness for an hour make me suffer for a lifetime? Is there any way to be made whole again? And if I'm healed, renewed, and find forgiveness, find the strength I've never had, will my scars forever ruin all God's plans? Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, pour me out, and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Please, can I have one chance to start again? He took my life into his hands and turned it all around. In my most desperate circumstance, it's there I finally found that you were strong enough, that you were pure enough to break me, pour me out, and start again, that you were brave enough to take one chance on me. Oh, thank you for my chance to start again. Ooh.
Lord Jesus, we affirm with Anna's song that you are strong enough. You are strong enough to help us start again. You are strong enough to help us face what we're facing this week. You are strong enough to help us be your witnesses in this world. For other people are looking, hungering for that power and that love that you have in infinite supply. We praise and adore you, and we give ourselves that we might share with others not the strength that we find in this moment. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Would you join me in prayer again, sharing your thanksgivings and concerns? And then at the end, we're going to affirm that strong prayer of Christ and sing it. So I'll invite you at the very end of the prayer to stand and sing with me. Let us pray. God, we're thankful for many, many blessings. Blessings too many to count, oh God. We're thankful for our graduates from eighth grade and high school and college and all that they mean to us. We're thankful, oh God, for Flag Day and for what this means for our country, oh God. We're thankful, oh God, for many, many other blessings. Hear us now as we thank you for... We're thankful for Kip Bateman, who's a wonderful example of a good Samaritan.
Thanks to the church for allowing the garden show that took place here this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and the sanctuary, basement, and fellowship hall, and the narthex.
The thanksgiving of the church for making its building available for a huge garden show this weekend. See if I get all those. First, Anna's thankful for her grandparents' 55th wedding anniversary, and then her parents' 22nd wedding anniversary, and then for an amazing church that helped the youth group raise $1,400 for their mission trip to Kentucky this summer. Thanks for family coming in from Kansas to celebrate a graduation. The finance committee is thankful that even in this declining economy and in a declining church-involved culture, that the giving is keeping up with the needs and that we are solvent and strong. And then, oh God, we bring before you our concerns. We pray for Evelyn Fisher, who had surgery this morning at 7:30 to repair a hip that was injured in a car accident. Bless the what I assume by now to be the aftermath of that surgery. Bless Jean Manning and Louise as Jean was brought in last night for into the emergency room. We pray your blessing upon Tehran and the election in Iran and all the tumult there, O God. May your will and way be done, and you know who we would prefer to see as the head of Iran. Oh God, guide in that whole process. We pray for VBS enrollment, for we'd love to have more children to register. One of the declines I didn't mention in the prayer is a decline in church school attendance and a decline in Vacation Bible School. Half what it was last year and still 30 less than half what it was last year. And then we pray for Lori Vaden on the death of her mom yesterday on Friday. And we bring other concerns before you. Hear us, Jesus, as we ask you for.
No rain on Friday for graduation.
A healing hand for neighbor. Healing hand for a neighbor, a 13-year-old boy who's struggling with muscular dystrophy. For a friend who's dealing with breast cancer. We remember our commitment to IHN, the homeless ministry here, and there are still some empty slots that can be signed up for after this service in the fellowship hall. That the youth group finds one more male leader to lead on the mission trip.
And students with their homes.
and bless students with their finals. We pray for one more healing for Bruce. In Jesus Christ, we combine all of these prayers and along with the prayers of people in many languages and many places into the one prayer that you taught us not only, but you pray with us as we stand and sing together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the
song. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? If you're staying for the forum, and I hope you do, you can come back in about 10 minutes. People with kids, elementary school or younger, need to get them to their places, and the nursery, and I think the others in the basement, but I'm not sure, but somebody will know. We'll come back here in 10 minutes and begin the forum. Now, whoever you are, and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you, before to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
You've been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.